राजा जन राम जना। यशोदा नंदना राजा जन राम जना। यमुना तीरा वनाशारी यमुना तीरा वनाचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा गोपीयानां वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी गोपीयानां वल्लभा यशोदानंदन ब्रजा जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रजा जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनाचारी यमुना तीरा वनाचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kasharya Stotara Sada Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kasharya Stotara Sada Sri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Grantara Srimad Bhagavadam Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Can you get me the book? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you, dear. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22, Verse 18 Tam Pratayam Tim Lalana Lalanam Asevita Shri Charanaira Dristam Vatsammanor Uchabada Swavasaram Konanu Manye Tabudo Bhijatam Tam Prartayam Tim Lalana Lalanam Avesita Shri Charanaira Drishtam Vatsammanor Uchabada Swasaram Kunanu manyeta budho bijatam Tam prartayam tim lalana lalanam Asevita Shri Charanaira Drishtam Vatsan Manot Uchapada Swasaram Kunanu Manyeta Budho Vijatam. Vatsan Manot Uchapada Swasaram Anumanyeta Budobhyatam Tamparthayantim Lalana Lalanam Asevita Shri Charanara Dristam Kunanumunyeta mudho bhiyatam Tam prartayam tim lalana lalana Vatsam manor uchabana swasaram Kunanu manyeta budho vijatam Tam tam prayartim lalana lalamam Asevita shri charanara dristam Yatmano uchapada swasaram Kunanu manyeta vijatam Tayanti Lalana Lalamam Asi Charanara Vistam Matisse Tam prartayam tim lalana lalamam Asevita sri charanaira dristam Vatsan manor uchapada swasara Yam tim lalana lalamam Sri charanara vishtam Samanor uchapada swasaram Kananu manyeta budho vyatam Tam prartayam tim lalana lalamam Asevita sri charanaira dristam Vatsan manor uchapada swasaram Kunanu manyeta budho vijatam Tam Here Oh, sorry. Tam. Here. Prartayantim. Seeking. Lalana lalamam. The ornament of women. Asevita shri charanaihi. Asevita shri charanaihi. By those who have not worshipped the feet of Lakshmi. Adrishtam, not seen, Vatsam, beloved daughter, Manoho, O Swayambhuva Manu, Upchapadaha of Uttanapad Swasaram Sister Kaha of what? Na Anumanyeta would not welcome Buddha, a wise man, Adiyatam, who has come on their own accord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. What wise men would not welcome her, the very ornament of womanhood, the beloved daughter of Swayambhuva Manu and the sister of Uttanapad? Those who have not worshipped the gracious feet of the goddess of fortune cannot even perceive her. Yet she has come of her own accord to seek my hand. Purport. Kardama Muni praised the beauty and qualification of Devahuti in different ways. Devahuti was actually the ornament of all ornamented beautiful girls. A girl became beautiful by putting ornaments on her body. But Devahuti was more beautiful than the ornaments. She was considered the ornament of the ornamented beautiful girls. Demigods and Gardarvas were attracted by her beauty. Kardama Muni, although a great sage, was not a denizen of the heavenly planets. But it is mentioned in the previous verse that Vishwavasu, who came from heaven, was also attracted by the beauty of Devahuti. Besides her personal beauty, she was the daughter of the emperor Swayambhuva and a sister of King Uttanapad. Who could refuse the hand of such a girl? Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadam Tikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinavandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopeka Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Taptakam Chanagorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanchakalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadarhar, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yogindraya Namostasmai Shukaya Brahma Rupine, Samsara Sarpandastanyo, Vishnuratanga Mumushat. I offer my humble obeisances to Shri Sukadev Goswami, the perfect of all the mystics and a partial manifestation of the absolute truth, who taught Maharaj Parikshit, or who saved Maharaj Parikshit, who was being beaten by the snake of samsara. So before I start speaking, I will ask apologies because I have a really tough night. I couldn't sleep at all, so I'm kind of my brain is too slow today. So if I forget any verse, actually the Prabhu again, I'll take shelter of you. And please forgive me for any mistake I may commit. So what minds a wise man would not welcome her, the very ornament of womanhood, the beloved daughter of Swayambhuva Manu and a sister of Uttanapad. Those who have not worshipped the gracious feet of the goddess of fortune cannot perceive her. Yet she has come on her own accord to seek my hand. So at first sight, it looks like, or from a very narrow-minded perspective, looks like Swayambhuva, Kardama Muni was kind of Maya. You know? So that's why neophyte devotees generally think when we read verses like this, glorifying the beauty of a woman, generally we might think, such and such sage or Dar Prabhu or such and such devotee, he was kind of a Maya, feeling attraction to her. I mean, he's a great sage who performed tapasya for many thousands of years. But now he's saying that he's attracted to the beauty of a woman. But there are a few points that clarify the situation. One is that it says actually in the 31st chapter of the 30th chapter, it will be said by Lord Kapila that only the sage Narayana is free from the attraction of the opposite sex. Besides this, everyone else is attracted. This is a principle of material existence. Pumsam Sriya Mituni Bhavangetam. Everyone is attracted to the opposite sex. A man, he sees a woman and he becomes attracted. And a woman, when he sees a man, she also becomes attracted. So it's the principle of material existence. Only the sage Narayana, he is free from that condition, so to speak. So Swayambhuva Manu was the son of Brahma. So he was also somehow or other attracted by the beauty of Devahuti. Also to say that Devahuti was not an ordinary woman. She was the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, and the daughter of Satarup. And she was the ornament, as Prabhupada says, of all ornamented girls. So to say that a woman is beautiful is, you know, one thing. But to say that she is beautiful among so many beautiful girls, that's something, you know. So sometimes, you know, we see, like I remember when I was like 10 years old, there was this movie, Zorro. And there was this lady, Catherine Zeta-Jones and Antonio Banderas. And I remember there is a part in the movie, I still remember that, Hare Krishna, that they're dancing this traditional 19th century Paso Doble. And at the end of the dancing, you know, she looks so beautiful. Like, you know, her hair is like loosened. And then she's like kind of breathing, agitated. And then she looks extremely beautiful. And I remember when I saw her, I said, wow, this is... You know, I also fell down like Vivas Vasu from some mental airplane. So I also thought, wow, this woman is the perfection of women, of beauty. So, but, yeah, there is beauty in the material world. We cannot say that sometimes, you know, like when we are struggling in our spiritual life, and most of us are very much attracted to the opposite sex, we try to deny that there is existence of beauty in the world. You know, we fight within our mind. No, she's not beautiful. No, there's no beauty. There's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. No, there's no beauty. There's no, everything is Maya, 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 Maya. So we become Mayavadis sometimes because we only see Maya. You know, there's no beauty. No, there is beauty because it comes from Krishna. If we say that, so like there's so many, you know, we have so many mothers. You cannot say that there is no beauty in them. Or there are so many bright faces, Prabhu, like Brian. He looks so effulgent today. You cannot say that there's no beauty. If we say that, we're saying that Krishna is not beautiful at all. And he is the most beautiful. Kandar Pakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shogam. You know, his beauty far excels, you know, so many millions of thousands of millions of cubits. So there is beauty, but we understand that this is a temporary and illusory beauty. That's a proper understanding of a great personality. They don't say, just like there is this very, very famous pastime of Srila Prabhupada. This happens in the Fisher Mansion, Fisher Radha Kunja Vihari's house. So when Prabhupada bought the mansion, he was like, you know, walking around, and because it was the house of a very, you know, materially wealthy person, he was full of old things, you know, so many like paintings. And they have a painting that is so many naked women. And when Prabhupada was working, and all the sannyasis were like, you know, closing their eyes and closing their ears, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And Prabhupada was looking at the picture and say, wow, it's beautiful, you know. So that's the right understanding, the right vision. The advanced soul, he recognizes that there is beauty in the material world, but he doesn't become attracted to that beauty because he's attracted towards the lotus feet of the Lord. He's attracted to the holy name. He is too much attracted to, his mind is completely absorbed in serving the instruction of his spirit and master, that he doesn't see or he doesn't become influenced by the beauty of you know, temporary beauty that we find in this world. So then I remember that many years after watching that movie, we were in Sankirtan and we entered in a CVS because Jagatata Prabhu needs some things. And then I saw this magazine, and after so many years, like almost like 25 years, I saw again Catherine Zeta-Jones on a magazine, and she looked horrible. And it was like, oh my God, wow. I mean, she's still, there's some beauty there, but you know, there's so many like plastic surgery and stuff, and it's also getting old. And I'm like, wow, this is, you know, I felt disappointed because, I mean, I grew up like being in love with that woman. You know, it's, it was like a kind of, not like a deity, of course, now, but, you know, I used to always praise her beauty. And I became so disappointed, but that was good, because I realized that beauty in the material world is also temporary, you know. So if you want to enjoy, if you want to, like, praise and enjoy eternal beauty, then one must become attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord. There is no other way. So here, this Swayambhu Kardama Muni, he's attracted to the beauty of Devahuti, but we must understand that Kardama Muni has a mission. He has an instruction that has to fulfill. He is not a renounced sannyasi. He is a prajapati. So he has to create progeny. He has to beget children. And he will do that later in the future. It's not like he is attracted to the external features of Devahuti. And then he later on becomes a Grihamedi. You know, he forgets about seeing Vishnu. He forgets about his instructions of given by Brahma and Swayambhuva Manu. And he says, Devahuti, you know what? Let's go to Thailand or, you know, whatever, some place, some island, you know, Varadero Beach, and let's go and enjoy. He doesn't do that. He just engages in service. Although for some time, they kind of enjoy after he was very pleased and satisfied with the service offered by his wife. In order to wanted to satisfy her, he, you know, created this airplane. You know, we know the whole story, and they traveled all over the universe for many, many years. And then he created 9 daughters, and these 9 daughters were given to so many other prajapatis and great sages for the sake of continuing in the mission of creating more progeny to inhabit the universe. And also, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take birth in that family, on that couple. It's not like the Supreme Lord doesn't take birth in a family on a very lusty person. So we have to be clear on this point that Swayambhuva Manu, Kardama Muni, he was not a lusty man. It's not like he's seeing some girl and he becomes attracted by her face, by her, you know, by her breasts and, you know, whatever it is, her ornaments, and then he just wants to enjoy the body. No, he has a mission that has to fulfill. In the same way, we should not be narrow-minded, especially those who are in the renounced order. When we see, like, those who enter in the Grihastha ashram, we shouldn't think, oh, this Prabhu is very fallen. He's in Maya because he has accepted a wife. No, because sometimes we see that those who are accepting a wife, they're more pure than us. You know, we must understand this, that it's not like being a brahmachari or a sannyasi makes us automatically advance in a spiritual life. Sometimes, some great devotees, they enter the Grihastha ashram and they're able to do huge things for their spiritual master and for Prabhupada's mission, for the Sankirtan movement. We see that in the example of how devotees established our movement in London. It was done by Grihasthas. So, yeah, that's a very narrow-minded way of seeing things. but ultimately, even if one is in the Grihastha ashram, and if one is whatever, he enters the Grihastha ashram because he has a personal instruction, or because he thinks that it would be easier for him to be in the association of the opposite sex, still, he should not be attached to the external beauty of home and hearth. You know, because there would be so many kids around, mommy, daddy, you know, all these things, a wife, my dear husband. You know, this is very pleasurable. And it's very difficult to give it up. You know, I grew up in a very, you know, materially attached family. And I see that all the time in all my, you know, uncles and aunts and father and mother and grandfather. They're all very attached to each other. And they're unable, when the time of death comes, they're unable to give up that attachment. And then they have to take another birth. Butwa, butwa, praliyate. Again and again, coming to this cycle of birth and death. Actually, when I was in Cuba a few months ago, one of my aunts, you know, really senior aunt, she passed away. And the day before she passed away, that was the day I arrived. And I saw her and I was talking to her. And she bombarded my mind talking about her daughter. Oh, my daughter, my daughter. So she died in that consciousness, thinking of her daughter. And we hear from Bhagavatam that the highest perfection of the human being can obtain is not to become a very fulfilled or very perfect materialistic person, or to become a great yogi, so many siddhis, hasta siddhi, perfections and being a great Johnny philosopher, a scientist, Einstein, or that guy, or the other one. No, this is not the highest perfection. The highest perfection is antena raya smritihi. One have to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the time of death. Whether you remember the name of Narayana, or Gopal, or Kunja Vihari, or Dwarkadish, whoever, but you have to remember the name of the Lord. This is the supreme perfection that one can obtain in a human life. Not that becoming millionaire, or becoming very beautiful, or very famous. No, these are like also temporary features of the absolute truth. So, about the... there is a song that His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he used to sing, that is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he said that he used to sing that song aloud. Maybe Sachidananda Prabhu remembers the song. Right now I can't remember the Bengali, but it's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur expressing his mood of being attached, being a attached householder, saying that I'm completely attached to my wife. Deho geho kala tradi chinta virat. I'm always attached to my body, my children, my wife. Therefore, my thoughts are always, you know, immersed in this griha. Never thinking of Krishna. Never completely forgetful about Krishna. And at the end of that song, he says that he prays ataeva maya amore, that let this illusory attachment for the beauty of the household be completely detached, be completely destroyed, and let me become completely attached to the feet of Gopinath. So these are the prayers of an advanced Vaishnava. Also, we see that Kunti Maharani prays in the same way. What's that verse? Ata vishvesa vishvatma vishvamurte swageshume sneho basang iman chindi tridam pandusu vrishnisu. He says, my dear Lord, all personality of the universe, you're the very form of the universe, please sever the tie of affection that I have got for my family, my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. So here is a woman that Prabhupada explains that women become attached to families, you know, her family and her husband's families. So their attachments is generally very strong, and she is praying this, let this attachment like completely be destroyed. And in the next prayer, you remember the Sanskrit for that prayer. You learned that verse at the bank of the Ganges. Gange Vaugang Udanvati. Yeah, that let my attachment be completely towards your lotus feet, just like the rivers flow, the Ganges river flows towards the sea without hindrance. So she is praying to be completely attached to the beauty of the Lord, because that's a real beauty. We see that in the Brahma Vimohan Lila. When Brahma, he felt ashamed of what he has done, stealing the cowherd boys and the calf. So he came down to offer prayers to the Lord. And he came with the mentality of immediately surrender to the Lord and offer prayers, asking forgiveness. But he was captivated by the beauty of Kunja Vihari. When he saw him, he said, Naudmiyate brava puseta didambaraya gumjavatam sabari pikshalakshan mukaya vanyashraye kavala vetra vishana venu lakshman shriye mridupade pasupangayaya. He said, oh, son of the king of the cowherds, your beauty is so great. Your body looks like a dark blue cloud in the summer season. And your garments, they are brilliant like lightning. And also you're wearing this nice garland of made of flowers and leaves from the forest. And your beauty is enhanced. The beauty of your face is enhanced with your gunra earrings and also your peak of feather. And you have the benu flute, and you have this buffalo horn, and you have a stick and a jug of rice in the left hand. Because Krishna eats with his left hand. So Brahma also felt captivated by that beauty, and before offering so many philosophical prayers, he first became attracted to this beauty. So that means that the beauty of the Lord is not something insignificant. You know, that is, say, Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that if somebody sees Krishna, he sees a festival. You know, that meaning that in the very personality of Krishna, there is all the qualities and all the beauty that we possibly can find in this world. And the question may be raised, so how can I get, or how can I become attracted to that beauty? Because generally, we are very fallen, so we cannot see Krishna around. And not many of us have the attraction towards it, to see the deity as Krishna, you know, like, and appreciate the beauty of the deity. Or we may appreciate the beauty for some time, but then when we go out, we completely forget, and, you know, so many other beauties come to our mind. So, but our acharyas say that if someone wants to develop love and an attachment towards the beauty of the Lord, one should hear Krishna Katha. That's the only possible way. Because even chanting of the holy name without first hearing the beauty and the qualities and the pastimes of the Lord will not get the we won't get the results so easy. One may chant the holy name, but if you don't know about the qualities of the Lord, how can you properly enter in the mood of chanting? Just, first of all, one have to hear the Krishna Katha. And this is explained in many verses of Bhagavatam, that this is the only way to become completely detached from the material, not only to be attached to the beauty of the Lord, but also to become detached from the false propensity to enjoy in this material world, which causes a lot of pain and tribulations. You know, the very attempt to enjoy the false beauty of the Lord, it causes pain, life after life. It's not only one time, or in one life I will enjoy, get some pain, but in the next one, you know, I will definitely will enjoy better, and then I'll be successful. No. This is the very attempt. Yehi samparsaya bhoga dukha jonaya evate. This propensity to enjoy is like a pregnant woman whose son will be named distress. This is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of this verse. He said that material enjoyment means like a pregnant woman whose son will be named distress. So as soon as we have that thought, oh wow, here is a beautiful girl. You know, His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj used to say that when a man sees a woman, immediately the sense of enjoyment arises. But a sane man will think, oh yeah, she's a beautiful woman, but she's not meant for my enjoyment. She's meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And if somebody practices like that, if someone thinks like that, eventually he will be able to conquer the Supreme Personality of God. So sometimes many people, especially brahmacharis, they have this question, how can I, you know, become detached from, you know, I see so many women around, I'm on book distribution, and so many matas come, and then I feel sometimes overwhelmed and agitated. Well, you should practice like that. You should develop that mentality. That, here is a woman, but she's not meant for my enjoyment. She's meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Similarly, a grihasa who enters the household, you know, he also should think like that. Oh, she's a very beautiful girl or woman, but she's not meant for my enjoyment. We have to both serve Krishna. You know, I remember like a few months ago, I mentioned what my grandfather, who was not a very learned person, but he gave me a great teachings when I was a child. He said that men and women should be like the eyes, that they're looking together to the front. They're never looking to each other. Otherwise, they will miss the path ahead. And my grandfather wasn't a very learned person, but somehow or other, he had that understanding. And I saw that in his life, that he was not attached to my grandmother for sense gratification. He will do his thing, and she will serve him all the time. And they live like that for many years, you know. So it works, you know, and they love each other. So that's how the devotee who enters the family life, she'll see things. And, I can say a couple more things about hearing the Krishna Gatha, and one becomes free from all the propensity for enjoyment, and one is able to cross the insurmountable ocean of material existence. Yesterday, I think, Bhaktavatar Prabhu was saying how sometimes we're on book distribution and we feel like suffering. Yeah, there may be some suffering because we are attached to the result. We want to distribute so many books and we want to deliver so many people and, you know, make them Krishna conscious and stuff. But for a person who is absorbed in Krishna Gata, there is no such suffering. You know, this is very same by Kapila Dev Muni in the 25th chapter. Katamrista madasraya srimnamti taparamti cha tapanti vividas tapanainam magata chetasam. He said that the sadhus who are absorbed in Krishna Gata, they don't experience the miseries of material life because their mind, their consciousness, their heart is filled with my passions, my teachings. So that's why sometimes this process of smarana or memorizing verses from the shastras is very helpful. I can tell. You know, I was in Mexico and for around a month I was on my own, basically traveling for some places because my schedule changed due to my trip to Cuba. I have to make some arrangements. So I found myself at a certain point in a place where no devotees were around. And I only had like my big bag and Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's it. And I was all the time, somehow or other, Krishna was giving me, he blessed me with the remembrance of so many verses. I was day and night remembering so many verses that they were just coming to my mind. And I remember that I thought, wow, this is a real shelter. We don't learn Sanskrit or some verses to show up like we are very learned or then everyone will come, oh Prabhu, you are the ocean of sloka or sloka das or it's nonsense. You know, we learn verses because that provides shelter at the time of need. When the time of death comes, if you don't remember anta kale shamam evan smaram muktwa kale vanan, you may remember your dog or your daughter or some friend that you met like 50 years ago, and then again one have to come back to the material world. So that's why this process of hearing and reading Srimad Bhagavatam is so powerful. You know, it gives Krishna, one can obtain Krishna consciousness very quick, and one can destroy the cycle of birth and death also very quick. I was talking to one lady yesterday, you know, on my like daily preachings online for Cuba, and she's a very qualified lady. She's only 24 years old, and she has her own business, and she speaks 5 languages with 24 years old. She speaks Spanish, English, German, Arabic. Who speaks Arabic in Cuba? Come on. And I think French. So, and she has her own business. And she's very successful. And she was showing me pictures of her business and everything. And then she said, well, we have this plan. And if we preach this to all the people in this way, if we engage these people in this service, of that service, they will become free from... They'll become financially free. And they will escape what is called the rat race, you know, the will of the rat. And I say, yeah, this is very good. This is really nice. But once you escape the will of the rat wills, there is another will. There is a sanchakra, samsara chakra, kadana grasanat pranitam. Prahlada Maharaj says that. The samsara chakra, the will of karma, or the will of samsara, you cannot escape that, but some, you know, economic development by speaking Arabic. By the time of death, when the Yamaduta comes, you'll say so many things in Arabic. Mashallah, mashallah, you know, Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim. You won't escape the cycle of birth and death by saying that. Only antenna rayana smritihi. And for the purpose of remembering Krishna at the time of death, one has to absorb himself. His consciousness has to be completely absorbed in this Krishna Katha. It's that verse. Samsara sindu atidustaran utitisho. Nanya pravo bhagavatas purusho tamasya lila kata rasa aniseva nangam tarena pumam bhave vivida duka dvarditasyam. Sutta Goswami, 12th canto, he says, for one who wants to cross the unsurmountable ocean of material existence, there is only one way. And that way is, there is only one boat, actually. He uses the word boat. There is only one boat to cross that ocean. And that boat is developing attachment to the cultivation of the process of hearing the transcendental lila of the Lord. So this is the only way by we can completely be free from attachment to temporary beauty in this world and be attached to the lotus feet of Shri Shri Radha Kunja Vihari or the lotus feet of Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish. So I'll end the class right here. If there is any comments or questions, just Jai Srigopati Prabhu, please enlighten us with your beautiful comments. Thank you.
Start off with thank you for a very wonderful and enlivening class. At the beginning of your class, you brought attention to the fact that Kardama Muni was glorifying the beauty of Devahuti, and you raised the question as to why he was doing that. Was he in Maya? And I have a thought. This is my own thought. I haven't heard this or read this sometime. I think he was being respectful. Mm-hmm. And this is my logic, that here, you know, Swayambhuva Manu is bringing his daughter. The history was given that she chose Kardama Muni. You know, she heard about him and she saw him or whatever. She fixed her mind on him. So, you know, that takes a lot of courage. And then here is Swayambhuva Manu bringing him. So it's not like, you know, if somebody brings you something very valuable, you don't just say, okay, I'll just put it over there in the corner, I'll get around to it. No, you know, here's the emperor of the universe bringing his beautiful daughter who chose him. He has to reciprocate. I think he's reciprocating. And he wasn't in front of the four Kumaras in Narada Muni. You know, it's not like the sages in Amisharani were sitting there. What does he say? No, it's like there, you know, the father, the daughter. And so he's reciprocating by glorifying the beauty. He's saying, okay, you know, you've chosen me. I'm chosen you too. You know, I also feel a great appreciation that you come and I value what you're doing. I value the offering. That's just my thought.
So much, Prabhu. That's why in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Swarup Damodar Goswami says, "Yao Bhagavatam Paro Vaishnavairastane." Just take shelter of a Vaishnava and learn Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Otherwise, one should go to Sadguru or something else. Yes, Archita Prabhu, please. Another great Vaishnava.
Bringapati's point is well taken, but it's not that he was lying. She was actually beautiful. He wasn't just being political, saying what was politically correct. Devahuti was actually very beautiful. So he was stating the truth. But at the same time, he was, as you said, he was renounced. And his approach to her was not just based on sense gratification. And Prabhupada made that point right here in this room. Prabhupada said once that all my female disciples are beautiful, but it doesn't mean that every time the wife smiles, there should be sex life. In other words, one has to be trained. Yes, you can see the beauty in the world, but the mentality, as you've so nicely said, should be that this beautiful person or this handsome guy is meant for Krishna service. Hare Krishna.
I just have a simple question. What is Krishna Katal?
Oh, Katal means the pastimes of the Lord. Oh. The stories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Talk, yeah. Yeah, one of the Mateis wants to say something, please. Lila Katal Rasa Nisevanam Antarena. Such a beautiful verse.
Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. This topic's been confusing to me. It's been a long discussion over a couple few months now, and I think your class is a nice summary of practical but having the goal in mind of serving Krishna. Mm-hmm. What came up to me when you were speaking about glorification of the beauty, that while glorifying the art, we're glorifying the artist. Mm-hmm. So remember that not this is object, but who is the creator, and the same with qualities. I think Mataji is more attracted to not bodily qualities, but inner qualities. But it comes from the devotional service. Mm. It's come from applying it with the goal of serving Krishna. Like the flowers are so beautiful, but when they are on the altar by Krishna, they are even more beautiful. Mm. And remember where it's coming from. Mm. Thank you.
That's a proper understanding. Thank you so much. Sachitanoi Prabhu, please.
This is a memory that since you mentioned Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj, that he used to be very expert in purifying his devotees or whoever was in the crowd. So one time, because this is about family life and attachments, I was there presently when one devotee in Bhubaneswar, he's an elder man already, he wanted to get married. The girl was 30 years younger than him. So Maharaj told him, no way. But somehow he didn't give up. He went for a second time. And he was trying. He went for a third time. And I was shocked, surprised. So then he went to, we went to Bhagavatam class, and Maharaj is speaking about the dangers of, you know, trying to be too attached to enjoyment. And he says, and there's a, I'm making it really short, he said, there are a lot of dogs there looking after sex. And right here, and he pointed out to them, we have a two-legged animal. And I thought, oh my God, you know, if that was me, I probably would bloop right there. So anyway, in another occasion, we were in Canada or in New Jersey. I also happened to be there. And a man, the one who's hosting the program, he said, Maharaj, this is your home. This is your house. Yeah, it's like very cultural way to do things. And then Maharaj is giving class. Somehow there is about attachment and family attachment. And at one point he mentions, he says, this Prabhu, he said that this is my home. But I tell you something, if I really take this home, he will be crying. He will be crying like that. So, and then like that. So we should cry for Krishna, not for Maya, not for this and that.
He was very expert in destroying, you know, people's attachment to the opposite sex. I remember there is also a class. Well, he's talking to one disciple. He's, you know, clearly seeing that there is one disciple that married a Mataji that was not so sincere. And therefore, they were engaged in so many, you know, material activities. So he was from Australia. And then Maharaj was saying, you know, now that you enter in the, you got married and then you're in Australia, every night you're calling me, Maharaj, Maharaj, we're quarreling, crying. She will make you cry and you're a fool. You know, he was like chastising me like anything. And he said, she will make you cry, Baba. She will make you cry, Baba. It's easy to satisfy Krishna, Baba. And he was like, you know, he completely, I believe that after that, he may get divorced or something like that. And he said, I'm telling you to stay here in Krishna Balaram temple and you want to go to Australia. What is there in Australia, Baba? So much stool in Australia, Baba. Stay here. So Maharaj was very, very expert. You know, I love him so much. Anytime I see you, I remember him. Hare Krishna. Yes, Yagat Chatur Prabhu. Please don't ask me about who are the six Swamis, okay? He asked that yesterday.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Isn't that the Srimad Bhagavatam is essential for cultivating our appreciation for Krishna Katha? Why is it that the emphasis is placed on Krishna Katha, but in the Srimad Bhagavatam, only a very small portion is the actual pastimes of Krishna?
From the very beginning, it's a glorification of Krishna. You know, and all his pastimes. So not only when we say Krishna pastimes, also refers to the pastimes of the incarnations of Krishna. So Bhagavatam describes the pastimes of all the incarnations of Krishna and the pastimes of his devotees as well. So don't think that only if one listens to the Krishna Gatha in the 10th canto, then one can go back to the spiritual world. No, actually Prabhupada sometimes mentioned in his classes that if somebody thinks that there is difference between the Rasa Lila and the Kurukshetra battle, he'll commit an offense. So this is the absolute plane, and everything is transcendental there. So there is no difference. There may be, you know, difference in the rasas, in the mellows, in, you know, and spiritually speaking, you know, the rasa dance is sometimes to say to be more advanced or higher than other rasas, but ultimately everything is on the absolute plane. So we should not think that only the 10th canto is Krishna Katha. Everything else is Krishna Katha. Actually, if you, later on, because you're very intelligent, you will read Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary so many years later, not now. And you will read it, and you will see that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was so expert that even in verses like, I don't know, speaking about the sages, he will see Krishna. And there is this class of Gaur Govinda Maharaj when he's talking about like the pole stars and the seven rishis. And then he starts saying something very esoteric, that how the meaning of Bhagavatam have two meanings. One is very visible and another is hidden. The visible meaning of Bhagavatam is that one should worship one should engage in Bhagavata Dharma, one should engage in devotional service. But the hidden meaning of Bhagavatam is that we have no power to engage in Bhagavad Dharma. We cannot just call out to Krishna. We have no ability for that because we are in Maya. We completely forget about Krishna. We forgot Him. But then Bhagavatam is Krishna's crying for us. He comes, He descends to this world because we cannot go there. And He's calling us because we cannot call Him. So, and then Maharaj was saying how he actually said to his disciples, "Are you seeing Krishna in this verse, Baba?" He said, "Oh, blind man, you're only seeing stars, seven riches, this or that, but you're not seeing Radha and Krishna in this verse." So we cannot say that, I mean, it's wrong to say that only 10 canto has Krishna passions, a whole bag of them. Also, you will read in that commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmadi Asayataha, he gives five types of explanations of the verse. And the first explanation is completely different from the last one. And the last explanation is only Krishna Katha. He's talking about the gopis and the rasa dance. And when I read that for the first time, it was like, you know, Tene Brahma Hridaya. This is no rasa dance, you know. But they were so elevated that they could see these things. I mean, Bhagavatam revealed these things to, you know, high advanced personality. Yes, Devarata Prabhu wants to clarify at this point.
Everything you said is correct. I was just going to give another angle.
Okay. So
this is the Prabhupada in the first canto, first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, very first verse. He says, "The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for understanding the substance and the categories." So
that's the first verse?
The very first verse in the purport, Prabhupada says, "Srimad Bhagavatam is about understanding the substance and the various categories." So understanding Krishna doesn't just mean understanding Krishna's pastimes of Vrindavan. It means Vande Gurum Isha Bhaktam Isham Ishvara Tadakam Tap Prakashas Tata Shaktir Krishna Chaitanya Samjikam. It means understanding Krishna and His various categories of energy. So when you're going through the Srimad Bhagavatam, you're dealing with tattva of all different types. Krishna tattva, Bhakti tattva, Rasa tattva. So many different tattvas. So you have to understand all those things in order to understand Krishna in total. Otherwise, you'll misunderstand. So that's why there's so many warnings throughout Prabhupada's commentary and the Acharya's commentaries. Don't jump to the 10th canto. Because if you don't understand the categories of Krishna, you're not going to understand the substance.
Okay. Shyam Murari Prabhu wants to say something.
Can we say that Radha and Krishna are contained in every word in the Bhagavad Gita, and when we become purified, we can see that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there the Janmadi Asya Jataha, you know, everything comes from Krishna. And Bhagavatam is Sri Bhagavatam. The very word Sri means Radharani. So if we say, you know, the Bhagavatam is actually the beauty of Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam means that the beauty of Bhagavan. So, and Krishna is never alone. So it's completely wrong to say that there is no Radha and Krishna for example, in a verse or in a chapter speaking about Sankhya Yoga. We don't have the ability to see that. But as I say, if you read Vishwanath Chakravarti's Thakur commentary, he sees all the time Radha Krishna, the gopis, and he explains it in a very philosophical way. It's not that he's just imagining things or saying things on his own. He's explaining you know, philosophically why Radha and Krishna is in every word. Actually, there is another verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Tulya Bhagavat Bibhu Sarva Shray Prati Shloke Prati Akshara Nana Artakai. That this Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of God and is the shelter for all. And Prati Shloke Prati Akshara, in every word and every syllable, there is unlimited meanings. Sarva Nana Artakai. There's so many meanings. We may not be able to see all the meanings because of, you know, we are not so developed in spiritual life. But those who are developed, they definitely see these things. You know, sometimes Gaur Govinda Maharaj used to say that the inhabitants in the spiritual world, they also hear Bhagavatam daily because it's an eternal activity. The guru speaks and the disciple hears. And this goes on and on, you know, for eternity. Yeah, so it's completely wrong to say that Krishna and Radha, they're not in first canto or second canto or whatever. Okay, the last one. Govinda Vasha Prabhu.
your class makes me want to stay more focused and forward in my spiritual life and say no to all Maya's attractions. Thank you very much for your class. And you mentioned about when Prabhupada was at Fisher Mansion. I have another story that my Guru Maharaj told me, Indraduma Swami, about when Prabhupada and Indraduma Swami were on the plane. And all the lights went down and the TV came out to watch the movie. And Indraduma Swami started chanting slokas. And Prabhupada was watching the movie. And he told Pradyuma, "Hey, why is Prabhupada watching Charlie Chaplin?" And he said, "Oh, you can see of the beauty and also the humor in Charlie Chaplin." So just like what you said also, you could see that Krishna is the supreme beauty in everything. Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Granta ra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Vanchakalpa taru visha kripa sindubhyay vacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.